Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Looking at on five current events that I felt were very significant and relevant, and we've really moved to the to the fifth event, and that is really under the heading of One World Religion. And this is a conference or a summit which I recently had heard about. And this summit is known as the Conscious Business World Summit. The subtitle is Bringing Real Transformation to Business. And so we want to look at this event, which took place in March of this year, and some of the things that took place at this conference, some of the hosts, for instance. But let me read a little bit about the blurb here. As I mentioned this before, and of course we looked at Edgar Mitchell, whose organization was one of the sponsors of this. I now want us to look at the some of the hosts of this and the relation of them to other New Age leaders. And I want to give you a little starter here, a couple of paragraphs concerning this Conscious Business Expo. Not to be confused with the Whole Life Expo or the Conscious Life Expo, but this is the Conscious Business World Summit. Anyway, discover how to catch the third wave of conscious business. Did you know that an exciting wave of positive change is building around the world in the way global business is done? If not, you might be wondering what global business could possibly be doing to create positive changes. There's that term positive again. Especially considering all the damage global corporations seem to be doing to our environment and our food supply and the bitter battles they engage in with one another. The answer is that in spite of those challenges, a deeper level of consciousness has been slowly seeping into almost every walk of life, and business is no exception. And of course, I would say yes. We've been talking about the one world government, which obviously involves businesses, or a business, I should say. And but one world religion and one world government will need to blend together, and they will ultimately, as the scriptures teach us, the prophetic scriptures. And so we are looking at this conference, this expo, this summit, and it goes on to say, actually, this deeper consciousness is aware that everything is interrelated, interconnected, and interdependent. And many people are now stepping forward and insisting this deeper awareness be foundational to the way business is done in every sector of our global society. The shift of attention onto the role of consciousness in business allows for a reframing sustainability as not just a necessity, but as an opportunity to turn environmental and social challenges into drivers of innovation, greater employee engagement, and workplace advantage. Reading down the page, this focus on deeper consciousness reframes sustainability and flourishing as business opportunities, turning environmental and social challenges into drivers of innovation. Sounds like I'm reading the same comment, but I'm not. Greater employee engagement and marketplace advantage. Well, actually, it is. It's a repeat of the same paragraph. I'm sorry about that. They really wanted you to hear that, I guess, or they wanted you to read that and wanted me to read that to you. As you begin using these proven methods in your own life and business, you'll contribute to that rising wave of positive change that is flowing across the world. During the Conscious Business World Summit, you'll discover how to use information on emerging conscious trends in business to be more successful in your own mission. Access new inner practices and being states, that is spelled B-E-I-N-G, being states, that can inform your business collaborations and decision-making on every level. Again, reading down the page, deal with challenges and setbacks quickly and easily while remaining calm in your conscious focus. Access important transformational education programs that are training resources for reinventing global businesses. And now our hosts, and we're going to look at the first host, and then we're going to spend a lot of time kind of extrapolating onto some other connections related to one of the people that he teams with. And his name is Steve Farrell. It says, before Steve Farrell co-founded Humanity's Team with best-selling author Neil Donald Walsh, he co-founded and led two high-growth technology companies based in Silicon Valley in the 90s. Now, I'm going to kind of take a jump here, and we're going to look at some of Neil Donald Walsh's books. I have several, at least three. I have more than three in my library, but I'm going to mention a few of them here, and also some other things pertaining to Neil Donald Walsh. You'll see as we go. But I think it's important, as he is a key figure in New Age spirituality. And so anyway, moving right along, let's just mention a couple of the titles I have. Here's one called Meditations from Conversations with God. You know, he claims to have had a conversation with God, like, of course, many people do. Many New Age psychics and mystics have. Another book, The New Revelations, A Conversation with God. And here's one, Happier Than God by Neil Donald Walsh. Turn ordinary life into an extraordinary experience. And then here is, you know, I said I had three. It looks like I have at least four. No, I do have more than four, but I'm reading some of the titles. This is the fourth one. Communion with God by Neil Donald Walsh, author of Conversations with God and Friendship with God. And so he's written a whole ton of books. And I want to quote from the book Communion with God, just to give you a flavor of what will sound familiar with you if you studied New Age spirituality or listened to my programs much. This is kind of a typical sounding phrase or statement that came from his book Communion with God. It says, death does not exist. To say that death exists would be to say that you do not exist, for you are life itself. Is that New Agey enough for you, folks? You are life, capital L, itself. Well, of course, because you're God. We're all part of God. And so death can't exist, because to say that death exists would be to say that you do not exist, because you are life and you are eternal life. And, of course, you're God. And we've heard a lot of this spewed forth in various ways. But I'm trying to give you an idea not only of some of his ideas, but I also want to be pointing out really how popular he is and other places where his name pops up and crops up. So here's a couple other interesting, to me anyway, interesting things. I found a book called The Call of Sedona, Journey of the Heart by Ilchi Lee. Now, Sedona, Arizona is a magnificently beautiful place. I've been there before. And it is just spectacular, you know, what God has done there and what he made there. But it's kind of been adopted by many New Age people. And they talk about portals and energy vortexes and all kinds of, let's just say, weird spiritual type things. And so many New Age guru types have gone there and have given tours of the area and to show people the beautiful colored rocks and mountains, etc., in Sedona, Arizona. But this particular gentleman went there apparently on a quest, or you know, he had a call of Sedona. And I mention him, of course, because he does reference Neil Donald Walsh, as you will see from what I read. And this is from page 137 of his book, and the chapter Connections Created by Sedona. He says, there is another connection created for me by Sedona. About 2 years after purchasing Mago Garden, I was in the midst of planning a program called Meeting with the Creator, in which Korean and American Tao members would both participate. Of course, Taoism is an Eastern religion. It says, it was then that I got some good news. Neil Donald Walsh author of the bestseller Conversations with God, would be coming to Mago Garden to hold a group workshop for his readers. So I invited him to give a lecture at Meeting with the Creator, and I also gave a lecture to his group. At the time, we had no lecture hall able to accommodate several hundred people, so I created one by pitching a huge white tent on a hill overlooking the golden sunsets of Secret Mountain. As we talked, Walsh and I understood each other right away. I spoke with him a great deal because he was the first person I had met in the United States with whom I had shared such a mutual understanding. My time of searching and my experience of enlightenment in Korea, my dreams and my sense of mission, what I felt about the human race and the earth, the world has got to hear your story and message. Publish a book, Walsh advised me seriously. And he also actively helped me, introducing me to a publisher and providing me with feedback on my manuscript. In that way, my first book in English, Healing Society, was published in 2000. Okay, but so we see Walsh's influence on other New Age type people, this Taoist believer of an Eastern New Age type religion. And then Marcia Montenegro, a friend of mine who has an excellent ministry, Christian Answers for the New Age, or CANA for short, in one of her newsletters from some time ago, she had some recent emails, and here's one I'll read, just a little excerpt from one, only because it mentions once again Neil Donald Walsh. It says, I have a friend who is a follower of Neil Walsh, Conversations with God. She and her husband are telling everyone about this new truth they have discovered through Walsh. Now, this was back, the newsletter was back in 2002, so it's been some time ago that this particular individual found this, or this friend of this individual who found this new truth discovered it. The reason for her belief is that after she finished the book, she woke up that night surrounded by angels, quote unquote, above her bed. She felt so happy. So this reader had written Marcia. So she is hooked on this evil path. How can I convince her that this is not angels? She is now part of this angels craze. Okay. So I don't have an answer here. This was just an email that Marcia shared in the newsletter. But for my purposes, just to show you the overarching reach of Neil Donald Walsh. And here's somebody who had a confirmation of this new truth, of course, by a subjective experience with quote unquote angels. And you know, I do not doubt that they were angels. Fallen angels, but nevertheless, no doubt angels. Of course, it could have all been just play, you know, a video being played in her mind, so to speak, by demonic deception. So, but either way, fallen angels had their hand in it. So pray for that woman, that she would find her way out of this terrible darkness that she thinks is light. Now, further on, there is a site which I like to use from time to time. It's called gotquestions.org. And there is a question that someone asks, is the Conversations with God series biblically sound? Well, you know, the easy, quick answer would be no. But that would make my program really short tonight. So I would like to read the answer here for you. Because you might want to employ this yourself. You might want to go to their site, get this information if you run across somebody that's enamored with Neil Donald Walsh. The answer, the book that started it all, Conversations with God, Book 1, An Uncommon Dialogue, spent over 2.5 years on the New York Times bestsellers list, and in 2006, a movie based on the book was released. Conversations with God, or CWG, is the brainchild of Neil Donald Walsh. In 1995, Walsh released the first book in the series, followed by 8 more books, all written as dialogues between Walsh and God. The basic premise of the series is that God is speaking to everyone all the time, and that Walsh began listening. Okay. And I made a little note, you know, Jesus Christ was supposedly speaking through the Course in Miracles. And you know, this is what often takes place in New Age materials, is God is speaking, you know, in beyond, of course, the 66 words of 66 books of the Bible, Holy Writ, the closed canon of God's Word, by which we're to test any other claims to be of God, any other teachings, etc. Well, I can tell you right off the bat, when I hear that people claim that God is speaking to them, and I find pretty quickly that message is not according to God's Word, the essential doctrines of Christianity, etc., well, then we know the source of those writings really are from the devil, either literally or in a secondhand manner. But anyway, he said that that God is speaking to everyone all the time, and of course, and I made the note, you know, except through his 66 books of the Word of God, because God is willing to speak to us all the time through His Word. And, you know, and he speaks through nature, in a sense, to reveal that he's real. And he may speak through divine appointments in various certain ways. But the primary way that he wants to speak to us, of course, is through his word, because that's the safest way for us to know we're hearing from God and that we can use that word to test other claims, truth claims, prophecies, so-called, etc. Now, I mentioned the Course in Miracles, and I've mentioned that so many times, but like I say, that was also a channeled a message to a woman, Helen Schusman, supposedly from Jesus Christ. And Neil Donald Walsh claims that he had these dialogues with God, and of course God is speaking all the time, and that we can be like Walsh. Walsh claims divine inspiration for conversations with God, saying that God literally spoke to him over my right shoulder, and he wrote down what he heard as if taking dictation. However, in an April 7th, 2000 interview on CNN's Larry King Live, wow, that dates me a bit, dates us all a little bit, doesn't it? Walsh admitted that he, so in other words, Walsh has been around for a while. Walsh admitted that he couldn't be sure that it was God speaking, and that the books could have been products of his own subconscious. Well, that doesn't sound very reassuring, does it? Doesn't sound like a lot of confidence going on there that we can have that was God speaking to him. And in fact, I'm confident that it was not God speaking to him. In conversations with God, Walsh says a voice told him that God is everything, and everything is God. Gee, that's real novel. We hear that, of course, all the time in New Age literature and from New Age speakers. Therefore, since God is everything and everything is God, therefore we humans are God. Everyone around you is simply you in a different form, and we are all God. Here Walsh is repeating one of Satan's original lies, you will be as gods, Genesis 3:5. Walsh also claims in the Conversations with God series that all life is eternal. Death is the great illusion. Remember the quote I gave you earlier, if I can grab it real quick, just to reference exactly, to back up what he's saying here. Death does not exist. To say that death exists would be to say that you do not exist, for you are life itself. And so that's what the authors of at this gotquestions.org article is saying. There is no, death is the great illusion. All life is eternal. There is no judgment, no punishment, and no hell, for there is no reason for any of that. There is no sin. After death, a person goes to a different level of existence in order to continue the evolution of the human soul. That is not very original. That is the same kind of garbage that the devil always puts out there through New Age occultic individuals and channelers and writers. This teaching in Conversations with God is in direct conflict with Hebrews 9:27, and many other passages of Scripture that teach the reality of judgment after death. I don't have my Bible open, but that Scripture, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So, you know, there is judgment. That's clear from Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto men once to die. Once you die, the next step for you will be judgment, either the judgment seat of Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, or the white throne judgment of God, if you're an unbeliever, where there is no further chance for salvation. Now, there is no right way to live or one way to come to God. There are many ways, and all of them are equally valid. All the gods of various religions are really the same God. Of course, the one true God disagrees with Walsh. And that's not what Walsh is saying, of course. That's what the author says here. Of course, the one true God disagrees with Walsh. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. Isaiah 44:6. And, of course, Jesus also said there is a right way to come to God. In fact, Jesus said there's only one way to come to God, and that's through him. And that's my John 14:6, which I'm fond to quote. And there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof is the ways of death. That's from Proverbs. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And I love that verse. You can't contort it, deconstruct it, define it, redefine it, or anything else, except for to your own destruction, because it's very clear and simple. A child can understand it. Walsh insists in Book 1 of Conversations with God that words cannot communicate truth. Instead, truth comes as each individual consults his or own feelings. Everyone is right, and no one is wrong. Well, I bet you he doesn't have any enemies, huh? Contradictory truths are not a problem in Walsh's faulty logic. It's interesting for a man who has given the world nearly 3,000 pages of words to state that words cannot communicate truth. What then is he communicating? And I wrote my notes, who could possibly believe this drivel? The answer? Someone with itching ears. And that's what's taking place, of course, is that individuals like this, they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. And they're being used by demons to speak doctrines of demons. So this was a nice, succinct sum up to answer of the Conversations with God series, and to answer the question, is it biblically sound? I would say it is absolutely unbiblically sound in every way conceivable and possible, and that there is nothing in it, not probably a single individual essential doctrine of Christianity that's not been distorted or perverted. Well, he may not have covered all of them, but he covered all the major ones, and of course promoted his heresy in so doing. So anyway, as I said before, one of the hosts, the first host that we looked at from the business summit, was this gentleman by the name of Steve Farrell, who he co-founded Humanity's Team with Walsh, and that's why I have gone now in this segue about Walsh, and I'm going to do another little segue here for the interest of information for those of you who don't know about some of these things and people. Donald Walsh also wrote another book, and it was a book that was a biography about a woman named Barbara Marks Hubbard, who was actually another one of the New Age luminaries, one of the top New Age leaders and writers and thinkers. And the book was called The Mother of Invention, The Legacy of Barbara Marks Hubbard and the Future of You. Now, this is in line with the fact, and this is from Collective Evolution by someone named Joe Martino, and the title was Barbara Marks Hubbard Peacefully Passed Away, April 10th, 2019. So this wasn't that long ago that this New Age luminary passed away, and she did find out there actually is death. Not just physical, but beyond, and in the hope somehow she met Christ before she passed. Probably not likely. But anyway, here's what this Joe Martino says. A true legend in the space of conscious evolution, Barbara Marks Hubbard passed away just after 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. Barbara was well known for her work as an author, speaker, visionary, and futurist. She is the subject of a biography by author Neil Donald Walsh, and I already gave you that title. She authored many powerful and important books relating to the field of conscious evolution, very much like the work we do here at Collective Evolution, and certainly has inspired the work ourselves and many others in the space. All right, now, a little bit more. Just a second. I need to do something here. Okay. This is from the New Age Encyclopedia by J. Gordon Melton. And I do not give a wholehearted, you know, recommendation of J. Gordon Melton. The New Age Encyclopedia is helpful because of the many individuals and groups that are part of the New Age movement. That part of it is helpful, but as far as his own beliefs and ideas and such, I wouldn't recommend him. And I won't go any farther than that and take the time, as I don't have much time left this session. In fact, I don't know if I'll be able to get my foot in the door or not. Let's just close for now. Oh, actually, I will mention what I was going to say about him, and then we'll close before I read the article next time around. I heard him speak actually at the Sunstone Conference, which is a liberal Mormons group, people who want to retain their Mormon identity and friendships and family and all, but can't believe in Mormonism anymore. And he spoke there, which you would think on the surface, that's a good thing, because these people are trying to get away from the heresies of Mormonism. But as I understand or recall, I think he's been an expert witness in the defense of certain religious groups, which I would just say are questionable. I'll leave it that way. I'll put it that way. But anyway, I think he's a United Methodist pastor, or was, if he's still with us, I'm not sure, live that is. But, you know, I believe he came from a pretty much of a liberal perspective. But the encyclopedia is helpful because it covers a lot of ground and a lot of people. And so next week, I want to read a little bit more to you about Barbara Marx Hubbard, because she's had quite an impact on the New Age movement.